Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. First Colorado, now Maine. Maine, the second state after Colorado to declare Donald Trump ineligible for the primary ballot next year for trying to overthrow the outcome of the 2020 election.
The Secretary of State in Maine disqualifying Trump, siding with a group of politicians, one Democrat, one Republican, and one independent, who say Trump was ineligible for the primary ballot because, having previously taken an oath to support the Constitution, Trump engaged in insurrection against the same. Trump's legal team says they will appeal to the state's highest court.
ABC's Melissa Adon, a Wisconsin business owner, filed paperwork to keep Trump off the ballot there. SpaceX used its Falcon Heavy rocket to launch the military's X-37B space plane on its latest ultra-secret mission in Earth orbit. In Liberia, a leaking fuel tanker exploded earlier this week as people gathered to scoop up the gasoline, more than 40 killed. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation. Young people of color are still going to prison at disproportionate rates. Advocates for alternative sentences say young people need to be better equipped for life after incarceration.
It's not only about a public safety argument, though I think it's very important to recognize that kids who are held in these facilities are in fact more likely to reoffend and more likely to reoffend on a more serious charge the next time.
Joshua Rovner is the Youth Justice Director for the Sentencing Project. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelson. And Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5. Tonight, clear 22. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning. Mostly cloudy with light snow showers in the afternoon. High of 31. More snow on Saturday night into Sunday morning. We could get around an inch of accumulation by daybreak Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 22.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
2024.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, a little different look around Wisconsin on a Friday morning. Good morning, everyone. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke getting ready to bid farewell to 2023. Hello, 2024. And for some folks in Wisconsin, that is going to involve a little bit of snow. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist, of course, has got weather details on the way. What I can tell you is for folks around the Madison area, snow on the ground, but it could dissipate by later today. Looks like we are going to have clouds this morning, but then sunshine this afternoon, 40 degrees. Saturday, partly cloudy, 35. Sunday, New Year's Eve, cloudy skies and 33. Monday is going to be a little on the chilly side, cloudy and 32. But then we start warming up back in the mid and upper 30s later next week. The La Crosse area, they picked up rain as far as moisture was concerned. Fond du Lac, basically rain as well. And up here in Green Bay, nothing but a little light rain. So as far as precipitation's concerned, at least we've got a little. Like I said, Stumach's got our weather details. Also this morning, we are going to talk about artificial intelligence. It is what everybody's talking about. Now, at the UW-Madison, they've got a Master of Science degree in design plus innovations. What they're looking at is problem solving with technology. Charity Seebecker is going to tell us all about that before we wrap it up with our friends from Compure Financial on this Friday.
There goes Pam Youngke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Twitter.
If you're looking to spend some quality time with the family and get out of the house, the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover is the place to be. And they're ready for you with over 60 exhibits that showcase the journey of Wisconsin specialty crops from field to fork. But that's not all. I'm Stephanie Huff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. We're talking with Andy Wrights. He's the executive director of the new center located on Innovation Drive off of Interstate 39. He says at its core, this building is meant to connect people where their food comes from, but it's also a space for the community with a cafe and event spaces. Andy says so far, the center has gotten great responses from visitors.
A lot of smiles, number one. Everyone, when they come in here, is just absolutely blown away, partly because nobody really knew what this was. The building is quite unique looking. It's very distinctive, very visible right along I-39, just in the village of Plover. And then when you get inside, you're just literally blown away. We have a cafe and coffee shop. We have a kitchen lab where we're doing some culinary classes and hoping to make a better connection with the family and the table and the fields and the farms. And then the exhibit space is just really what gets everyone's attention and lots of oohs and ahs, where we have over 60 exhibits, really trying to make that connection with the agriculture and consumers and trying to bridge that gap in understanding of where our food comes from, the people that make it happen, and the technology that helps drive it.
And people may be oohing and aahing already just hearing you talk about it with the number of exhibits you've got going on, the fields, the kitchen, the cafe. But Andy, at its core, this center is for agricultural education and kind of connecting people to where their food comes from. But it sounds like it goes a lot deeper than that with all of these different elements that you're bringing to folks.
It is, really. So just on the educational front, we kind of have a two-pronged approach. So we want to do a lot of educational programming here, not just with the exhibits, but actual hands-on educational programming with our kitchen lab, a makerspace, our demonstration fields, where we'll be able to actually take students or any visitor out into the field and let's dig up a potato plant and see how tubers and roots and flowers all form. That's all activities that will happen here. The other component is we have an educational outreach component where we're developing lesson plans and curriculum to get out into the school system. We'll actually make visits to schools, conduct a lesson for a classroom or a school about agriculture, and very basic all the way to very advanced elementary school into middle school and some high schools, and to just really try to tie it all in. And I guess the third component is we really want to stress that there is an avenue for a career in agriculture. I think one thing the industry hasn't done a very good job of highlighting the types of really quite satisfying and lucrative careers that are available in agriculture. The stereotype of just driving a tractor and you know, doing so many things manually, those days are quite honestly gone. It's a very high technology industry, a very progressive industry, and we need more people to enter into that agricultural space for careers.
You mentioned technology is a focus at this center. Can you tell me what that looks like and what may surprise people when they come in?
I would say one easy one is just our irrigation exhibit. I personally, from my background in agriculture, had no idea how advanced the big center pivot irrigators that we all see when we're driving around the countryside, how advanced they are. Variable rate irrigation technology is fairly new, but it's being embraced. So just that one component is telling a really good story that we're growing better crops, bigger yields on less acreage and using far less resources like water and other crop inputs because of that. That's just one of many examples that we're going to talk about here.
I understand the center is highlighting some of those key crops of central Wisconsin. Is that right?
That is. That's correct. So, I mean, Wisconsin's known as the dairy state for, you know, obvious reasons, which is great. Our dairy heritage is wonderful, but there's more to Wisconsin than just dairy. We're top five in potatoes and carrots and green beans, peas, wheat corn, number one in cranberries. We grow ginseng and mint and cabbage and a whole host of other items here. So we really want to focus on initially those kind of consumable fresh potatoes and vegetables from the central Wisconsin area. But we've got plans to not stop there and go beyond that and try to highlight all of the crops that are grown in Wisconsin. And it's not just to represent just Wisconsin only. That's where we're starting. But we feel we'll have an impact in the Midwest and across the country as well.
So what is happening outside the center? You mentioned the demonstration fields outside. We're in the dead of winter right now. But what's planned for those fields in 2024?
Sure, that's a great question. We have 4 1-acre demonstration fields. Each one has their own section of an irrigator, center pivot irrigator on there. And the 4 fields are really purposefully thought out. One will always have a cover crop on it. Cover crops are an important part of the agricultural industry and normal crop rotation here. So we're going to highlight that. The other 3 fields then will just rotate through the crops that I just mentioned, potatoes, carrots, beans, peas, sweet corn, that sort of thing. Mainly it'll be for demonstration purposes. But secondly, this year we did grow a few things and we opened it up to the community for a couple of U-Pick events. And there was nothing more enjoyable or special than seeing young children come through that really have no connection to farming or even a garden, and to be able to dig into a hill of potatoes, come up and root around and come up with a potato. And the look on their faces was just priceless. And that kind of makes it all worthwhile for what we're doing here.
Obviously, in Wisconsin, we're limited by our growing season, Andy. But in a previous conversation you had with us, you were talking about plans for a greenhouse to keep that greenery around the calendar year. Has that come to fruition?
Thank you for the reminder on that. Yeah, we do have plans for a greenhouse. That would be like a phase 2 of our project. The concrete slab is poured for it. I would expect we'll start getting serious about planning that this spring. And the idea is, yes, we have 6 months of winter here, and it's unfortunate, but that'll give us the opportunity to maybe look at greenhouse technology and at least have something green and growing for educational purposes and maybe for use in our cafe and our culinary space.
So plans in the works, because as you kind of alluded to, this space is the starting point for what could be.
That's exactly right. One of the phrases that we've coined here is we want to be that common ground to bring different opinions, different tractor colors, if you can believe it or not. I mean, that's a thing. And we want to be that common ground and be that catalyst for differences of opinion on water usage or land usage or crop type or whatever. Another term we've coined here is we're purely agnostic. We are third party. We want to bring everybody to the table and represent everyone, big farm, small farm, and everybody in between.
What we haven't talked about yet, Andy, is the monetary support for the Food and Farm Exploration Center. That's another story of how a lot of different people kind of came together to bring this to the ribbon cutting, right? Can you tell me about how many different parties played a hand in meeting the price tag needs?
Yeah, thank you. That's a great one. It's a $41 million project. It started as an idea, and then over a course of a few years, a foundation was started, nonprofit foundation, with the sole purpose of just providing educational component, agriculture educational components into schools. Well, that's where it started. As the idea grew and took root and grew, and you know, some water and sunshine, and the idea got bigger. A few more growers and farmers in the area said, why didn't we think of this 10 years ago? There's such a need. So it became very apparent that there was a need for a destination type of facility building where we can, like we said, have common ground, bring it all together. So the support for the whole thing has been absolutely phenomenal. Initially, it started with support from a lot of the farmers and growers in the area. As an example, we're in Plover. The Wurzela family donated 24 acres from prime farm ground right here in Plover for the site. We're right along I-39, super visible, and so that was their contribution to the project. That's one example of the support necessary for this because they believed in it. The rest of the support came from lots of other industry folks, John Deere, Frito-Lay, Swiderski in New Holland, a lot of banking firms, Compeer and Ag Country, Rural Mutual Insurance, Farm Bureau. The list, I think, is well over 200 donors right now, big and small, to make it happen.
And the responses from those stakeholders over the new facility have been oohs and ahs, as we heard from Andy Wrights. Andy is the executive director of the Food and Farm Exploration Center, now open in Plover. He recommends planning your visit today. Just visit their website, explorefoodandfarm.org. Again, the website is explorefoodandfarm.org. He says while you're visiting, don't forget to snap a picture in front of the world's largest potato masher, which calls the Food and Farm Exploration Center home. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Moves like these before.
If you need to know about farming, then you need to know Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, it looks like we've got some interesting weather as we bid farewell to 2023. Let's talk about it. Time for a Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, along with us. I talked to Stu yesterday, but we didn't really talk about weather. I see that the La Crosse area picked up moisture in the form of rain. I'm up in Green Bay working remotely this week. We had a little light rain yesterday. I talked to you yesterday, Stu. You were along the Sheboygan-Plymouth-Eden route, and I'm sure you probably saw rain. Snow in Madison. Did anybody end up with that icy business that could really have been frustrating?
As a matter of fact, Pam, there was a good snow cover in the Eden area. Well, just about enough to cover everything up, but it melted off before the day was out. I see around 2 inches or more in the Madison area in terms of icing. Very scattered little areas, but nothing widespread. We didn't make sheets of ice anywhere around Wisconsin. The activity all has been pulling away, and of course, low pressure that was just off to our southeast has been pushing a bit further east and away from the area. That is going to lead to a little more clearing through the day today. Clouds to start things out, but those clouds will break up and will brighten up. Brightening up first in western Wisconsin, last in the far southeast. But there's something to look forward to, and that's the return of a little sunshine. And certainly that sounds like some pretty good news. Still fairly comfortable temperature-wise above normal. And I mean, we're talking very upper 30s or about 40 today. We cooled a bit on toward Friday and on toward Monday. On toward New Year's Day could be about the coolest swing of the pendulum, rising up after that. There will be a precipitation chance. A cool front drops in out of the northwest Saturday night or into Sunday. Some snow, generally pretty light snow, but a few snowflakes, a possibility at that time. Maybe a little dust here or there. I wouldn't expect a lot more than that. But that precipitation chance as we make our way into the middle part of this long weekend. Those temperatures, like I said, then cooling on toward New Year's Day, and then turning around after that. Next week, though, still looks to be on the dry side. I know you've got that snowmobile gassed up and ready to roll. There's just not going to be that kind of snow cover building up around here. And with temperatures all of next week, at least in the mid-30s, not building a lot of ice or anything either. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Celebrate our century and sesquicentennial farms across Wisconsin. There is a growing list of farms that have been family-owned or operated for over 100 or 150 years. You can find out about them all year long thanks to our friends at Compure Financial. Meet the families, hear their stories, and take a trip down memory lane by logging onto MidwestFarmReport.com. New farms are featured each Friday on our morning show. Celebrate century and sesquicentennial farms with the Midwest Farm Report.
Mutual assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Our Compure Financial Ag Weather Forecast does call for morning clouds, maybe a little flurry activity in the south, and then some clearing a bit later on, up to about 40 today, upper 30s or a low 40 here and there. The north wind's about 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to 25. Southwest winds at 5. Mostly sunny skies on Saturday, only up in the mid-30s, 35, 36. West winds about 5 to 10. Saturday night into Sunday morning, snow, not accumulating to much or accounting to much, but a little snowfall, and then just mostly cloudy through Sunday, lower 30s with the north winds at 5 to 15, and more sunshine on New Year's Day, but very low 30s for highs. Going to seem a little more wintry again to start the new year as those temps stand the chance to stay a lot closer to normal in the very low 30s or even the upper 20s, and that's where it should be at this time of the year. So, Pam, get ready. We're going to be a little cool next week, but I still say that dry weather is going to continue. But then again, we're just not making a great deal of ice out on the lakes. Those that are on the lakes in northern Wisconsin, be very, very careful through the weekend.
All right, Stu, thanks for the update. Appreciate it. Have a happy new year. We'll catch you in new year 2024. Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist with your Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, if you're looking for ag lending, resources, people, offices, or you're thinking about a rural lifestyle change in 2024, Compere Financial is where you need to turn. Go to their website, compere.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org. Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. First Colorado, now Maine. Maine, the second state after Colorado to declare Donald Trump ineligible for the primary ballot next year for trying to overthrow the outcome of the 2020 election.
The Secretary of State in Maine disqualifying Trump, siding with a group of politicians, one Democrat, one Republican, and one independent, who say Trump was ineligible for the primary ballot because, having previously taken an oath to support the Constitution, Trump engaged in insurrection against the same. Trump's legal team says they will appeal to the state's highest court.
ABC's Melissa Adon, a Wisconsin business owner, filed paperwork to keep Trump off the ballot there. SpaceX used its Falcon Heavy rocket to launch the military's X-37B space plane on its latest ultra-secret mission in Earth orbit. In Liberia, a leaking fuel tanker exploded earlier this week as people gathered to scoop up the gasoline. More than 40 killed. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents will meet again Friday morning. On Wednesday night, they fired UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao after they learned he was making online pornography. The Board of Regents will meet in closed session to discuss ongoing personnel matters and to talk with legal counsel about potential litigation. Young people of color are still going to prison at disproportionate rates. Advocates for alternative sentences say young people need to be better equipped for life after incarceration.
It's not only about a public safety argument, though I think it's very important to recognize that kids who are held in these facilities are in fact more likely to reoffend and more likely to reoffend on a more serious charge the next time.
Joshua Rovner is the Youth Justice Director for the Sentencing Project. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5. Tonight, clear 22. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the morning. Mostly cloudy with light snow showers in the afternoon. High of 31. More snow on Saturday night into Sunday morning. We could get around an inch of accumulation by daybreak Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Valentine or even Eric Stoltz, of course it is.
Spreading farm information and occasionally manure. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Some folks refamiliarizing themselves with winter conditions around Wisconsin. It's a Friday, 29th day of December. Glad you're spending some time with us. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Yeah, like I said, I think visually it was kind of appealing to folks yesterday in the Madison area that picked up that snow. Now we'll see how much of it we hang on to. For today, 40 is our expected high, and supposedly sunshine on the way this afternoon. That would be welcome. Clouds back in the forecast on Saturday, 35. Sunday, cloudy and 33. And the first day of 2024, partly cloudy, 32 degrees on Monday. So like I said, today is the 29th day of December. Let's see, on this day back in 1890, the massacre at Wounded Knee happened. There is, of course, a memorial there today, but it happened on this day back in 1890, the Wounded Knee Massacre in South Dakota. Hard to believe, but on this day back in 1997, Hong Kong started to slaughter all of their poultry birds to try to battle and stop bird influenza. Now, that's obviously something here in Wisconsin we've become all too familiar with, but really the awareness started back on this day in 1997 in Hong Kong. Happy birthday today to actor John Voight, 84 years young. Ted Danson from Cheers and Three Men and a Baby, he's celebrating his birthday today. And now you know. One buzz phrase you're likely to hear a lot going into calendar year 2024 is AI. Now, in agriculture, we call that artificial insemination. But in the real world of consumers, AI is artificial intelligence. We've been using it for a while in a lot of different areas in production agriculture. And it sure looks like 2024 is going to bring us more opportunities to integrate artificial intelligence into not only producing food, but also processing food. Charity Seebecker joins us now with a new opportunity on the UW-Madison campus where students are focused in on solving problems, many of which are turning to artificial intelligence as a resource. Charity?
The University of Wisconsin-Madison's Master of Science in Design plus Innovation is an interdisciplinary accelerated master's program where students will design, develop, and implement innovative products or services to help solve a problem. And this year, their focus is on bees and the role that they play on Wisconsin's ecosystem and food security. And Trudy Watt, the academic director of the program, says the students' project will be ready to be implemented come May. She explains more about the process these students are going through.
MDI, which is what we call the MS, Design Plus Innovation for short, is a one-year accelerated master's program in empathetic, interdisciplinary, and collaborative design at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. A really unique aspect of our program is that we're partnered with five schools and colleges on campus: the College of Engineering, the School of Human Ecology, the Wisconsin School of Business, the Art Department, and the iSchool. So it's a really, really, I think, cutting edge approach to what partnership between schools and colleges look like. Very often our program works with partners such as other campus units, corporate or industry partners, and we continue to work with partners like those. This year we wanted to experiment with a slightly different approach. So working with a really important mentor to our program, we were thinking about what would be a really big issue in the state of Wisconsin that our students could tackle. We wanted to give them something complex, but something that could also be sort of related to everyday experience. So we thought of food security in the state of Wisconsin. And really quickly, we went from food security to agriculture to pollinators to bees. So we all know that there are stories all over the place about bee population decline. It's a real issue that has a real impact on what we experience every day as people that live here. But there's also a story in this that I think is captivates the imagination and really, you know, lays open some really interesting ways to think creatively about innovative possibilities that could potentially and positively impact bee population decline and food security in the state of Wisconsin.
Getting to learn from these beekeepers firsthand, how are you planning to work with them to create an overall benefit for them and the state?
Our students are spending an entire semester just trying to understand. And we couldn't possibly understand everything that is going on in the world of bees and beekeepers and honey producers in a semester, right? It takes a lifetime. It takes multiple lifetimes. We know that this is a culture with a ton of mentorship, etc. So we're only going to get a snapshot. But what our students are doing now is just trying to understand the landscape. What are the factors out there that are influencing beekeepers' experiences, bees' experiences, and by extension, all of our experiences of the food systems that we live with every day. So this semester, they're developing that deep understanding. And what we're asking of them is, given their new insights into what's up for bees and beekeepers, what do they think are the possibilities where designers could bring either a new product, a process, a website, an app, et cetera, to have a positive impact on the overall health of the bee ecosystem in the state.
That was Trudy Wah, Academic Director for the Master of Science in Design Plus Innovation at UW-Madison. With a decline in the bee population, these students are working with beekeepers throughout the state to help them, the bees, and our overall ecosystem. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thanks, Charity. We're getting ready for the final trade day of 2023. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 143, but 40-pound block cheese gained a penny and a half to 143. Double A butter on Thursday up three and a quarter at 266 a pound. On the close, our commodities were definitely under some pressure. December, make that March corn, dropped 2.25 cents to 474 and a quarter. December new crop corn was down a penny and three quarters at 504 and three quarters. January soybeans on Thursday down 11 and a half at 1305 and a quarter. November new crop was down 6.5 at 1258 and three quarters. The July wheat was up 8.25 yesterday at 647 and three quarters. January class three milk down 28 at 1541 a hundredweight. Yeah, it's going to be tough no matter what you raise in Wisconsin agriculture for 2024. And it really doesn't matter about the weather. Just take a look at the economics. We'll do just that with Bill Moore, Chief Risk Officer with Compure Financial. That's up next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North,
910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
TV's remodeling.com.
Pam is the name. Farm speak is the game. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Our friends from Compure Financial keeping an eye on what's happening with our rural economy and looking ahead to 2024. Joining me today is Bill Moore. He is one of our risk management advisors with Compure Financial and a fellow that's kind of been keeping a pulse on things as we kind of wrap up calendar year 2023. Let me ask you, first of all, Bill, how did our risk management tools, our risk management strategies perform in 2023? You know, for a while, it looked like we were going to have all kinds of mitigation for drought. Crops ended up being a little bit better than we expected, but there's always uncertainty out there. Overall, how do you think the risk management portfolio for most of our, I'd say, Wisconsin farmers performed?
Yeah, risk management is such an important part of our agricultural business, and following risk management practices is sometimes a task, you know, but we do preach that. We preach it upon ourselves as well. It's been a really important function over the last few years. I think one of the interesting parts that we've seen is we had such good profits in the last few years that, you know, the kids talk about FOMO, fear of missing out. You had farmers that maybe didn't hit the highs of previous years. And what we're starting to see is those that had missed the high in the previous year maybe weren't as effective at managing their risk management plans and marketing plans in the following year. And that's the spot we're in today is, well, you know, I sold too early last year, so now I'll wait. And we've seen actually a reversal in the trends of commodity prices. So while net-net, particularly in the dairy industry, we'll probably see, you know, producers, you know, hit a break even plus or minus. Some will earn some profitability. Some will be slightly negative, but it's off of the back of really 2.5-3 years of really good results. So we feel very good about where the industry is today, considering where maybe it had been 3 or 4 years ago.
You know, putting together that portfolio risk management tools is kind of critical. We've got a lot of them, some more popular than others. How do you start walking people through that plan? Now, we're going to wrap up calendar year 2023, but we already have to start pulling the trigger on some of this for 2024. How do you walk them through that, Bill?
Well, I think it's this understanding your cost of production is the key thing. And it's frankly, the number of people that do not know their full cost of production is quite surprising to someone in the risk management area. So we really try and focus on what's your cost of production, where can you sell, how far out in the future can you sell, and what is the appropriate level of not only your production, but how much you're willing to grow, and frankly, where will that production go? You know, we've certainly seen a slight tightness in capacity, particularly in the Wisconsin area, and so that has resulted in less production going forward. But I think there is some optimism because we've certainly heard a lot of people talk about maybe there are opportunities to build processing capacity in this area. So how do you ramp up not only your cow base but your production base in order to be able to fulfill those needs?
So what questions do I need to be asking now, Bill? I don't want to put a risk management plan together in a vacuum. I've got to have some other people's input here. Tell me who I should be talking with. What kinds of questions should I be asking?
Well, the good news is, you know, we've been around as an organization for, you know, call it 106 years. The number might be a little different than that. No one's been around 106, but there are plenty of people that have been around 40. And so we've got a level of expertise, both not only on the lending side, but frankly on the consulting side. You know, how can you utilize your financial partner to be able to understand, hey, do you grow crop? So do you have the right crop protection? Do you using the right, you know, tools? We have a number of tools on the dairy side for both following DMC as well as DRP. And what's the optimal level to be able to capture profitability based on your operation? Because I've been to those meetings before. No one is the same. And so having someone who can walk you through. I met with a group of farmers a couple weeks ago, and one said something very telling to me. They said, as a runner of a business, I have to be the CEO, the CFO, the COO, and the CMO, and I'm not an expert in any of them. So why not reach out and utilize someone who has that level of expertise? Because your financial officer is helpful, and they're great, but they have access to a whole host of other tools. We use what's called a TRM, team relationship model, where you can bring in people who have that expertise and add it to your team of advisors.
Yeah. Bill Moore's along with us. If you're just joining us, he's one of the risk management advisors with Compure Financial. You know, he talked about the resources that are out there. Some people like to be able to kind of study up on their own before they call for meetings. Compure.com has got some fantastic resources. If you've never checked it out, you don't have to be working with a Compure advisor, but boy, the resources are right there. So let's talk a little bit about going into 2024. And I know, Bill, it's uncertain for everybody, but we do have a farm bill that is in, kind of in the works. We're going to take a little extra time to develop it. Compure is about more than just individual operations. Compure is about more than an individual commodity. You guys are, I won't say a holistic, but you've got a broader band of concern about what's happening with agriculture in rural communities. Explain how Compure is keeping a pulse on that developing farm bill in the good of the rural community.
Yeah, you know, one of the benefits of the merger that we had 5 years ago is create a lot of diversity. Yeah. So we were able to actually, you know, see not only what's happening in one particular area, but see how it's across the area, across the territory as well as nationally. But the key for us, you know, we've always been focused on rural. Rural communities has always been part of our mission. We donate about 1% of our profits to community activities, to community altruistic events. But we want to do more than that. So we have really focused on this coming farm bill to get new eligibility as to how we could help things like community medical centers. You know, we don't need our clients to have to travel 2.5 hours to get to the hospital. So can we find local partners and maybe put that money to work to build a skilled nursing facility or a senior living facility or, you know, all the way up to a hospital? And we've done that in a number of cases. Mm-hmm. Our eligibility there is somewhat limited. We have to do these on a case-by-case basis. So we actually had bipartisan support to get into the new farm bill, you know, the authority to be able to do what we call mission-critical investments. Now, the resolution just passed last month to kind of, as I understand it, punt the farm bill for a year. On many cases, that's good, because crop insurance is so important to us. We did not need to get into a situation where crop insurance either was off the table or was notably adjusted. So that is good. But for us, the bad part is well, that might take us another year to get that eligibility in place.
Right. And the reason why we talk about something like this is dairy does not stand by itself. You're dependent on your community for employees, your community for schools, your community, and that all kind of goes hand in glove.
Yeah, we've always been really of the mantra that ag is good for rural. But the flip side is also true. Rural is good for ag.
Yeah.
And the two cannot move together without coexisting. And while there's certainly a focus for the Farm Credit System on how to fund and enhance agriculture, we're really trying to make that a dual mission and make rural equally as important as agriculture. That's going to take a lift on our part. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone within the Farm Credit System. The Farm Credit System can't do it alone. We need community partners. We need community banks to be involved. You know, that's not always been a symbiotic relationship, but I think there are reasons for it to be. And then how do you go outside our communities and bring capital in? Mm-hmm. How do you get economic development dollars so that someone can start new businesses? But nobody's going to be able to start businesses if you can't find labor. You mentioned it. You know, if people are moving out of the community, then people aren't going to travel an hour to go to work. And and while I'm certainly sure that virtual work is helping rural, it's not necessarily helping rural businesses.
Bill Moore, again, along with us, you know, you make a really good point there about how I'm the chief cook and bottle washer, CFO, CMO, COO. That's all the more reason why farming operations need to network with folks like Compure. You can't do it alone. You shouldn't try to over-leverage yourself, because like you said, we're finding that we make bad decisions when we're working in a vacuum.
Yeah, that's completely true. And you know, working in this political environment is never easy. I am fully understanding of that. However, here's a case where we actually have bipartisan support. We have Republicans and Democrats who are willing to put forward what was supposed to be the farm bill for this coming year, but maybe it will be for next year. They've been very supportive. I mean, we've over the past decade, we've been able to do 149 rural hospital investments. But each one of those, we've had had to go and ask for explicit permission to do that deal. And that can be 6 months. That could be a year. It could be a year and a half. And if you are someone who's trying to put together a proposal and your financier says, yeah, I can help you, but it's going to take me 9 months to get approval to do that, you know, that's probably dead on arrival.
Yeah.
And so we really need the full support of the community, of the legislators, and of the people who have capital.
You know, risk management is about more than just a contract you enter into for calendar year 2024 or for a certain life cycle. Risk management goes far beyond your farm's gate and into your community. Bill Moore, helping you better understand that. Again, risk management advisor with Compure Financial. I mentioned it before, I'll say it again. You want to find a great bunch of resources to just educate yourself on some of these elements to get started. Go to Compure.com. And while you're there, you're also going to be able to find out how you can stay involved in the conversation on the bigger issues like rural support that are being discussed on a broader level in Washington, D.C., and how you can connect with people like Bill Moore to get your risk management plan in tow for 2024. Compure.com. Bill Moore, my guest. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Breaking out planting expectations for corn and soybeans this next year. Today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Today, Dan Bossi offers an educated guess on what corn and soybean growers will be putting in the ground this spring. He's president of Ag Resource Company, a risk management and advisory service based in Chicago.
We are forecasting today corn acres at around 90.5 million acres. Soybean acres, I need more of them because of renewable diesel at 87. There's a $7 advantage today for planting soybeans over corn. So we're thinking there's going to be more soybean acres, but I want to caution you. This was a survey we did back in October. I'm worried that the fall has been so good, and there's still nitrogen being put down across places in the plains in the Western Corn Belt. So I may have to adjust my corn acres up and my soybean acres down based on the favorable fall weather, because once I got farmers working, they kept working and doing what they were doing.
While Bossi expects corn and soybeans to bring modest profits next year, he believes beef and poultry producers could have a good year in 24.
The bullishness may not be in grains unless we have a weather problem, but we definitely see it in the protein side of our plate.
Bossi gave the keynote at a recent convention of the American Seed Trade Association. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. A win and another loss for former President Trump. Maine removing Trump's name from the 2024 presidential ballot following Colorado, while California is keeping him on. Trump has vowed to sue Maine over its decision. Another busy day for holiday air travel. The